It's the morning show. I'm Carrie Kaufman. You ever have one of those mornings when a friend calls because she's just been dissed and needs some cheering up? Well, Milwaukee, we are here to tell you that that person or clickbait website that just dissed you doesn't know what they're talking about. Nancy Frank is the chair of urban planning at the School of Architecture and Urban Planning at the University of Milwaukee, Wisconsin. She's also an associate professor at the school, and she doesn't like this 24/7 Wall Street ranking any more than we do. Nancy, welcome to the program.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. So Milwaukeeans, former Milwaukeeans, people who like Milwaukee, we want to hear from you. What do you like about it? What do you think that needs improvement about Milwaukee? If you can change one thing about the city, what would it be? And are there great things about Milwaukee that you think get overlooked by studies like this? 800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org or tweet us at WPR Mornings. So we saw this study yesterday, Nancy, and how big of an impact do things like this have on the quality of life?
Well, I don't know how much a particular article like the one that was published has, but certainly reputation is a factor in why people decide to relocate someplace. Mm. And to the extent that people looking where they want to go away to school or looking for their first job after school, use these kinds of quick searches online to get these quick and dirty lists, it certainly can have some sort of an impact. So it's a little bit distressing. You know, most of the time I look at these best of places lists. It's just kind of fun. I don't know that I ever take any of them too seriously because just about every city is ranked as best in something and some list that comes out. This one was a little bit sad in their use of the word worst cities. And I guess they use that term in the sense of at the bottom of the ranking, but the word worst carries a connotation that I think is for the most part undeserved probably by all of these cities. I've read so many positive stories about what's happening in Detroit right now. And of course, Detroit was at the absolute bottom of the list. And all of the cities in the list, near the bottom of the list, have enormous assets and wonderful places to live and great things to do. So, yeah, we got to take this with a grain of salt.
Yes. We didn't particularly like that word worst either. I think that's what got our hackles up. And we all kind of looked at each other and said, we have to do a story on this. The study looked at crime, economy, education, environment, health, housing, infrastructure, and leisure to measure quality of life. But quality of life seems like a really difficult thing to quantify and so subjective.
Exactly. And, you know, I was looking at the methodology and I think what they thought was that all of these other indicators actually in some way measured quality of life. I didn't see anything quantitative on the quality of life measure. Maybe I just missed it because it was at the bottom of the list. But yeah, quality of life is, first of all, we know from research, something that is related to personal taste. So about half of the population thinks that the highest quality of life is in dense urban areas with lots of places to go and many different kinds of people to interact with. And the other half of the population thinks that, you know, a nice acre lot out in kind of the edge of suburbia, that's really what defines quality of life. So there's a subjective element to it right off the bat.
And I think there's a subjective element to this survey because they're obviously in New York, 24/7 Wall Street. And most of the cities on the survey were like Midwestern or Western cities. So, you know, I'm taking that with a grain of salt. Cindy from Eau Claire You're calling in with your weighing in on Milwaukee here. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
So what do you like about Milwaukee?
I love the fact that there were so many parks and music festivals and museums. I worked second shift when I lived there, and I took the bus all the time and generally felt pretty safe. I lived between Humboldt Avenue and Holton Avenue, which is not generally considered a good neighborhood, but, you know, it was fine. I never really had any problems there.
Okay.
I lived there for about 15 years.
That's great. Thank you for that. Nancy, taking the bus, lakes, you got the lake there, which is really pretty stunning. And of course there's Summerfest, which makes Milwaukee kind of the place to go during the summer.
Right. And not only Summerfest, but a whole host of ethnic festivals, some held at the Summerfest grounds, Bastille Days held, right on our city streets downtown. And other festivals around the city, the Greek Orthodox Festival over at the church designed by Frank Lloyd Wright, lots of community organizations holding picnics and organizing concerts and having all kinds of activities. The parks, excuse me, I've got a little frog in my throat this morning. Despite having some financial stresses, are doing a great job with what they have to make sure that there's good programming in the parks, that the parks offer things that bring people there, not just people who want a big expanse of grass to sit down in. And so, there's a ton of wonderful things going on in Milwaukee.
We are talking about Milwaukee today in the wake of a clickbait study. I'm just going to say that, a clickbait website that ranked Milwaukee one of the worst cities in the country. We don't agree with that, and we are taking your calls, 800-642-1234. You can email us at WPR, ideas at WPR.org, tweet us at WPR Mornings. We are talking to Nancy Frank, who lives in Milwaukee. I want to say Milwaukee is an older city. There are a lot of older buildings. I'm wondering if that may make people say, it needs to be updated. It needs to be modernized. What do you say to that?
Well, it depends, I think, what the building is and where it's located. One of the things that we know is that historic commercial corridors. And in Milwaukee, we've got Brady Street, we've got North Avenue, we've got the Third Ward, and lots of smaller ones around the city. Those are very attractive to people, and people are flocking to areas like the Third Ward to live in actual historic loft buildings or newer buildings that are actually built to be like historic lofts. There are certainly large areas of Milwaukee where the housing was built in the 1950s through the 1970s, even now I'm getting so old, into the 80s, where sometimes the housing size is less than what people want today. There's only one bathroom, the closets are small, maybe some of the finishes haven't been upgraded or haven't been upgraded recently. And that does keep down housing values and may not be where everybody wants to live because they can't add another bedroom, add another bathroom very easily. That also is one of the things that keeps Milwaukee's housing affordable, however. And Milwaukee does have a good supply of affordable housing, most of it in pretty good condition.
Now, the Third Ward is on Milwaukee's Lower East Side. It's on the lake, actually. Is it a gentrified area? Is this displacing people?
Well, the Third Ward it's just south of downtown, east of the river. And gentrification is one of those tricky concepts because rising property values don't necessarily mean gentrification. For it to be gentrification, people actually need to have been pushed out. Mm-hmm. And this is an area that was 19th century industrial factories and warehouses. And it sort of sat dormant from about World War II on, emptying out less and less activity. Then the freeway construction affected it quite a bit. There had been an Italian neighborhood adjacent near where all the green vegetable warehousing operations were as well. And so there was some push out at that stage, but that really preceded what we're seeing now with...
We're going to have to come back and talk about this. We are talking about Milwaukee in the wake of a study that kind of dissed the city. It's The Morning Show. Milwaukee got dissed earlier this week when the city landed on one of those worst on clickbait websites. Nancy Frank of UW-Milwaukee School of Architecture and Urban Planning thinks the study is flawed, but let's face it, as an older urban city, Milwaukee does have its challenges. We are taking your calls now to see what you think about Milwaukee. 1-800-642-1234. Ideas at WPR.org if you just want to email us, and tweet us at WPR Mornings. Nancy, let's consider some of these measures. How does Milwaukee measure up to other cities when it comes to things like housing? You were just talking about affordable housing on the lakefront downtown. How is housing in general?
I think housing is one of Milwaukee's strengths. It is not as affordable as I remember people coming from out of town commenting on it, say, 30 years ago, but it is still really quite affordable compared to many cities. I teach a course called Great Cities of the U.S.
Wow.
And so we look at New York, Los Angeles, Chicago, as well as some cities more in Milwaukee's size range. One of the things that those really big cities and many others, Seattle is one that particularly comes to mind. What they're struggling with, San Francisco, is enormous increases in housing costs, so that many cities are becoming places where only the very, very rich and the very poor live, and not in the same neighborhoods as you might anticipate. I think Milwaukee is fortunate that maybe related to some of what puts us at the bottom of some rankings related to job growth and economic development, which hasn't been like some of these cities that have just been skyrocketing in terms of their investment. It has managed to allow our housing market to maintain good value and not all that expensive. So that's a good thing.
What about education?
Education is one of the things that most large cities are struggling with. Milwaukee certainly continues to struggle with how to adapt its educational system to changing circumstances and changing needs, and making sure that everybody's getting the skills that they need to succeed in life. I think that education, a little bit like crime, are problems that most cities struggle with, more so than suburban areas, and that we're still looking for, you know, the easy answers, but there probably aren't any easy answers. So we just have to keep working at it.
We are talking about Milwaukee today with a UW professor, Nancy Frank. And we are taking your calls, 800-642-1234. Roger from Verona. Welcome to the program, Roger. I understand you are a Milwaukee native.
Yes, I am. And good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I am a Wisconsin native and born and raised in Milwaukee for the first 20 years of my life, starting at 1957. I joined the service and moved away and was gone for a number of years, mostly to the West Coast and East Coast. My job required me to travel to major metropolitan areas. I came back when my mother was sick and ended up spending 10 years here before I moved to Madison. And I was really shocked. You don't know what you have when you're a young kid. It doesn't make too much sense to you. But when you go away and you come back, you see things, you realize things for the first time. And it occurred to me immediately off the bat that Milwaukee has enormous, enormous potential, being on the lake and the Summerfest and all of the other wonderful attributes. But I don't think it lives up to its potential. I think it's an older city. I think it's in need of a facelift. I am not really happy with what I'm seeing with the segregated neighborhoods. There's a number of other issues that Milwaukee could do much better on, including some of the aromas from the south end through across the viaducts. I just think that it has so much going for it, and it's almost there. It could be a fantastic city. And my last question is, being number 10 is, I don't know how that works for you, but exactly how many cities were in this?
50. There were 50. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We're 80.
Yeah.
That's not real good, is it?
No, it is not. Thank you for calling, Roger. Roger has some good points, Nancy. It is a very segregated city. In the core of Milwaukee, and especially in the suburbs of Milwaukee.
Absolutely. Our segregation issue problem is one that we have to find some ways around. And that segregation is both racial and ethnic, and importantly, within the racial and ethnic enclaves in Milwaukee, there's further segregation by economic conditions. And that leads to neighborhoods with really concentrated poverty. And it's that sort of concentrated poverty that leads to poor school performance, that contributes to a higher crime rate, and so on. So it's all sort of interconnected. And so there's some efforts underway. There was a Milwaukee United planning process that finished up last year, looking at some of the neighborhoods adjacent to the downtown and how to retain those, not cause gentrification, but at the same time, understanding that those neighborhoods might also be more of a magnet for people who are currently in the suburbs, and frankly, white people in the suburbs.
Right.
And how to do that without causing gentrification and without causing a complete transition of the neighborhood so that it's not really a desegregated neighborhood. It's just resegregated with a different color label on it.
Yeah, we're actually going to be talking about resegregation and integrated neighborhoods next hour. So thanks for that plug. But are there any urban planning initiatives that are making headway here? And what's stopping you guys from making headway?
Oh, boy. You know, there's lots of good ideas. Oftentimes, we don't have all the resources that we need to get those ideas put into place. So that, for example, there's lots of vacant lots in Milwaukee where the homes became abandoned, and the city, in order to prevent that empty home from becoming a blighting influence on the neighbors, takes the houses down. That's a good practice, but it means we have a lot of unbuilt land in the central part of the city. And if there was more support for building housing and that we could provide some support for people who are not at the lowest levels of income, but who have a little bit more income to get some support. We have some of those programs, but they're limited in their impact because of the limited funding that we've got. So there's a lot of ways that we could add to the diversity of the housing mix in terms of the price points of that housing.
And are you, this is just an investment issue. You need investment from the state, from private entities. Are you guys actively looking for that?
All hands on deck, really. it almost all of the housing efforts that are successful in terms of reaching that sort of working class level of housing are a partnership between the public and the private sector.
We are talking about Milwaukee this morning with Nancy Frank. She's a professor at UW-Milwaukee School of Architecture and Urban Planning. Let's talk about housing prices, the median home value and the percentage of the population that has a bachelor's degree. Those were the things that were taken into account during this study. In Milwaukee, what is the median home value, and how do we make that go up a little bit?
Yeah, so the study cited a median home value of $114,700. And median, just to remind people what the median means, is it means that half of the homes in the city are, let me just round up to 115,000, are worth less than 115,000, and the other half are worth more than 115,000.
It is not average, it's just the middle.
And at the upper end, there's a very long tail with homes worth 3 million, 5 million, right? So it's much more stretched out. We use the median because the average tends to exaggerate the effect of the very low values and the very high values. How do we make it go up? That could be a mixed blessing, making it go up. We certainly want homes to be valuable investments. We also want high quality rental housing, because that's an important part of any city's market, especially the larger cities. So we don't necessarily want to, you know, say that the best thing is if that number could go up. I think the best thing would be if we know that homes in the bottom half of the distribution, those below the median, are not merely affordable, but that they offer a safe and comfortable place to live.
Ah, that's a good way to put it. About a quarter of the percent of the population has bachelor's degrees. Now, I'm not really sure if they are including the suburbs in this or not. Why only a quarter of the population? That seems low to me.
It is low. And I had done some research back in the early 2000s and was surprised at the low proportion of people in Milwaukee with a bachelor's degree. It's gone up a little bit since I looked at the numbers the last time, but it still is lower than a lot of cities. And I don't exactly know how to account for that. You know, one of the things that makes a difference, I suppose, is the degree to which a city is employing in industries where a degree is important, because it's not just the bachelor's degrees that we grow here in our own city, but then importing people with bachelor's degrees who come here for jobs. And so, given that Milwaukee continues, despite the deindustrialization starting in the 1970s, really, we continue to have a much higher than average proportion of industrial jobs, many of which still do not require a bachelor's degree. And so given that industry mix, we get a certain job mix, which means that we probably would be anticipated to have less people with a bachelor's degree.
We are talking about Milwaukee today and taking your calls, 800-642-1234. Sylvester from Madison, welcome to the program.
Well, thanks. I hate to be the guy that kind of beat up Milwaukee. You get a lot of that, I know. But when I was 19, I was in a funeral service program there, and I was with a bunch of my roommates and four other guys, including myself, and I was the black guy. The cop pulled me aside. We were playing basketball at midnight, and they pulled me aside of the whole group and handcuffed me. They ran me. Of course, I have never done anything, but that was my first negative experience with police officers there. And let's see, I was just to find work to pay for my room, my housing there. I couldn't find work at McDonald's. It took me like 6 months. You know, I was a 19-year-old kid, kind of naive to, you know, from Madison. You don't have those kind of issues here, really.
Right.
We have, like, some of the best, I think they have one of the best police forces in any city I've ever been in. And I was in a funeral service program there in Milwaukee, and I remember going to, I had to intern at a couple different places to, you know, to get my credits for my courses. And I went to a bunch of funeral homes, and finally the funeral home director told me, hey, you need to go to a black funeral home because, you know, you're not going to find work here. And I said, you
wow.
know, I was a 19-year-old kid, and I was like, even in death, people are, you know, we're separate even in death. And that was my my experience in Milwaukee. But now I got to say, I do love Summerfest. I have a blast there every year.
Sylvester, thank you for that. That's a fascinating story. I'm sorry that you had to deal with that. But let's face it, Nancy, Sylvester is not the only black person who has had to deal with that kind of thing in Milwaukee.
No, not at all. A few years ago, I was volunteering for a number of years in a charter high school and was having some conversations with the students there about segregation and discrimination. And I remember that the students sort of would shake their heads and say, no, I don't experience discrimination. Well, except for the police. That was repeated many times, that the experience of African-American and I'm guessing Latino students as well and young people is to not be given the benefit of the doubt and to find themselves more likely to be stopped, more likely to be arrested. And that's an element of the larger segregation issues that we see in the city.
And Bucks player Sterling Brown just had an encounter with the police that was a little more violent than Sylvester's. You see this all the time?
I certainly can think off the top of my head of several incidents just in the last few years where the use of police force has been seriously questioned or clearly inappropriate.
Okay, we're going to talk about this more in a moment. We are talking about Milwaukee. There was a study, one of those clickbait studies, that kind of dissed the city, said it was the 10th worst city in the country. Milwaukee certainly has its problems, but we don't really think it's one of the worst cities in the country. Give us a call, 1-800-642-1234, and weigh in yourself. It's The Morning Show. The Morning Show. I'm Carrie Kaufman. We're talking about Milwaukee today after the city showed up on one of the worst of clickbait websites. Nancy Frank is UW-Milwaukee's School of Architecture and Urban Planning. Nancy, we just talked to Sylvester, who talked about dealing with the police, being a black man dealing with the police. It's not just police. And we're going to stay on this just for a minute here, though, because it's not just police that the black community has a problem with. More kids, the 2015 study by UCLA said that more black children were suspended from school, which in Milwaukee than anywhere else in the country. It was nearly double the national average. And the city is 40% black. Are the schools working to improve that? Are they dealing with that?
You know, I'm not really in a position to speak to that. I was paying much more attention to school policy when I was on the board of a charter school, but I know that Milwaukee is working to not rely so much on suspension, but I can't speak to that.
Okay. We are taking your calls. 800-642-1234 is the number. How does Milwaukee measure up to cities that you've lived in? Do you choose to live in Milwaukee, or did you move away from it? If so, why? And if you lived there for a long time, call us and tell us why then, too. 800-642-1234. Ideas at WPR.org is the email. You can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Alex, you live in Milwaukee. Why are you calling us today?
Good morning. Thanks.
Good morning.
My call. Hey, I grew up in Madison. I lived in San Francisco. I lived in Minneapolis. Now I live in Milwaukee. Raised a family here. I love Milwaukee. And a couple things that people have missed is, one, especially this time of year, there's a lot of places in Milwaukee that are just beautiful. You know, it's a beautiful green place, especially here on the east side and down on the south side. A lot of the parks there, just gorgeous, you know. And the other thing people are missing is the active nature of Milwaukee, you know. You want to get on the bike trails here. You can get on the Oak Leaf Trail, you can get on the Hank Aaron Trail, you can get on the Beer Line, and you can go all over this city with just a really world-class bike trail system around here. And it's not just really safe and beautiful. I mean, it's just a real asset here. There's a lot of like offbeat, goofy, active things in Milwaukee that I just really love. I mean, things like the Santa Rampage in winter, or the River West 24-hour ride. And there's just some really nice little things in Milwaukee that make it great. You know, you got like the Colectivo coffee shops all over Milwaukee, which are great coffee shops. You got like El Rey grocery stores down on the south side. Really interesting places to go and to shop around here. I haven't mentioned the beer gardens. I don't see those any other places. Maybe other places are starting to catch up. I mean, you go there on a Sunday afternoon, and there's families, there's dogs, there's all types of people, black, white, you know, Hispanic, out there enjoying the beer gardens, you know, and I haven't even mentioned the lake yet. You know, I just got back from swimming 20 minutes in the lake this morning.
Wow.
Fabulous. Beautiful. Great Bradford Beach, now that's been revived by the Friends of Bradford Beach. There's a lot of things that, you know, studies like this, articles like this, they miss because they're not here. They don't see it. They don't feel it. They aren't part of these you know, these kind of goofy cultural events we have, the parish festivals, the street festivals, the South Side bike days, things like that. You have to really live Milwaukee to understand some of the great things here. It's not a perfect place by far. We're still working to improve things by sure. But you look at the skyline, the new Northwestern Mutual Life building. That's like one of the best buildings that has been built in the last 10 years. No question. It's a beautiful thing. So,
thank you, Alex. Thank you very much for that call. That's actually the kind of call that I was hoping for when we started this. Somebody that just loves his city, and Alex clearly loves his city. So Nancy Franks, you teach urban planning at Milwaukee. What do you teach your students about your city?
Well, the sorts of things that Alex was talking about are some of the things that we talk about in my Great Cities course, about things that really make a city a great place to live. Having natural amenities that are protected and appreciated, having options for how people move around the city, depending on, you know, what it is they're trying to do at a particular point in time, opportunity to experience all kinds of cultures all within just a couple miles of travel that you can actually get to on bike. You know, I was listing for myself some of the great neighborhoods that people need to be aware of and go visit: Walnut Way, Lindsay Heights, the newly rebuilt West Lawn neighborhood on the northwest side, Avenues West, Walker's Point, Sherman Park, North Avenue. Almost every stretch of North Avenue is interesting and has something to do. River West, Bayview, places where there are great local restaurants, ethnic grocery stores, all sorts of terrific stuff.
Do you think it's easier to measure great cities? I don't really understand what their measurements were for the worst cities and the best cities, but what is your criteria for listing something for your great cities class?
Well, on the first day of class, I asked people, you know, what makes a great city? And parks, colleges and universities, jobs. What are some of the other things that come out pretty quickly at the top of the list? Good transportation options, affordable housing that's of high quality. Those are the things that always come out on top. And the sorts of statistics that this particular article relies on are statistics that are readily available. Mm-hmm. But when social scientists do research, they start with those statistics, and then they build in other information to control for some of the factors that help us to interpret what it means to have a particular number on one of these measures.
We have been talking about Milwaukee with Nancy Frank. She is the chair of urban planning at the School of Architecture and Urban Planning at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. She's also an associate professor at the school. And as you heard, she teaches a great cities class. She and our callers today think that Milwaukee is a pretty great city and did not deserve to be 10th on this list of worst cities in the country. Nancy, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you. Thank you for doing the show.
It's the morning show. Dana Walks is a Democratic state lawmaker from western Wisconsin and a trial lawyer. He says that combination makes him a perfect advocate for regular folks in the Capitol. As part of WPR's series on the candidates for governor, Laurel White has this profile.
Carly Jo Lauer first met Dana Walks at a very difficult time in her life. She had just been in an awful car accident and had been left paralyzed from the waist down.
I was in the hospital for 107 days. And I was doing speech therapy, physical therapy, occupational therapy, and then I was also doing my schoolwork on top of that because I wanted to graduate with the rest of my class.
Lauer was a sophomore in high school when the accident happened. She says she first met Walks when he came to the hospital to visit her. Her mother had hired his law firm to represent her in a lawsuit following the accident.
You know, I always felt comfortable that I could cry or I could scream or I could swear or I could do whatever I needed to do to express myself, and he was always supportive of that.
Lauer says Walks was comfortable sitting with her in her most vulnerable moments, and she thinks that says a lot about who he is. And he made her laugh.
Total dad jokes, you know, I think that's important for people to know.
Walks says his work as a trial lawyer, which he continues to do, is a lot like his work in the Capitol. He says he sees both jobs as opportunities to fight for people who don't have a lot of power.
I don't represent the big corporations. I represent regular people in terrible circumstances in life.
Dan Freund is a longtime friend and colleague of Walk's. They first met when they were young lawyers practicing in Eau Claire. Freund says Walk's didn't talk about running for office in those early days, but he's not entirely surprised it happened.
I think to some extent it's the logical extension of his work representing the injured parties against big insurance companies and big companies and being an advocate for those who couldn't necessarily advocate for themselves.
There is a benefit to being a trial lawyer for a Democrat like Walk's. They're often helpful to Democrats, especially when it comes to fundraising. But WisPolitics President Jeff Mayers says Walk's may have struggled because another attorney, Matt Flynn, entered the Democratic race for governor.
I think that, a lot of Milwaukee attorney money may have gone Matt Flynn's way.
Mayers says Walk's was considered an early front runner in the Democratic field, in part because he announced his candidacy early, but he struggled to stand out in the 10-candidate primary.
Some Democrats have been saying that campaign is underwhelming.
Walk's contributed about $270,000 of his own money to his campaign last year, according to finance reports. That's more than half of what he reported raising. Walk's has tried to distinguish himself from other Democrats in the governor's race by highlighting his fight against Foxconn. Every Democrat running for governor has criticized Foxconn, but Walk's sits on the board of the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation, which negotiated the deal. That put him on the front lines to attack it.
I think it's a terrible squandering of state resources. $3 billion spent on one company buried deep within one industry is a heck of a lot of eggs in one basket.
Walk's voted against the contract, saying it didn't have enough protections for Wisconsin workers. Walk's says Foxconn is one of many examples where the needs of regular people are falling on deaf ears at the state capitol. He says it's about time for that to change, and he'd be the governor to change it. Laurel White, Wisconsin Public Radio.
This wraps up our series over the last 2 weeks, spotlighting candidate profiles. You can find all of Wisconsin Public Radio's stories on the candidates for governor at WPR.org/governor. Monday in the 7 a.m. hour, we're going to look at Green Bay's new paper mill. Actually, a new paper mill. It's the morning. You're listening to the Ideas Network and the Morning Show. I'm Carrie Kaufman.